Welcome to Brave Church Online. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are so glad to have you here with us. I want to mention a few things before we jump in to our brand new series that we have today. And the first one is I am actually standing right here in the auditorium of Bridgeway Church. Bridgeway Church, of course, is the church that I was on staff at for just about a decade. And so we're grateful to Bridgeway Church for opening their doors to us and allowing us to film here. And so we're grateful to them. Of course, once again, Bridgeway is also the church that planted our church and helped us get started and just has been a huge resource to us. So we are grateful to them today. The second thing I want to mention is something I'm really excited about. Since we haven't been able to meet face-to-face, so many of you, of course, who we got to gather with each Sunday, but I'm missing so many of your faces and just missing hanging out. And so one of the things that I want to do starting this coming Monday, April the 21st, is I'm going to be hosting a Zoom call for anyone who wants to join. I would love to have as many of you as possible to join. It's going to be Monday nights at 7 p.m., and we are going to be walking through the book of Acts together. And so if you would love to sit down and join with me, we'll have a time of Q&A where we'll discuss it. I'll share my screen, and we'll walk through the Bible together, and we're just going to dive into the book of Acts and grow and learn together. And so I would love to have you join me for that. That's going to be every Monday night at 7 p.m. It'll probably go for around 45 minutes or so of study time and talk and discussion. And then we'll have time for Q&A, and you can ask some questions, and we can interact and just see one another. And so I would love to have all of you join us for that. So if you want to do that, I've made this step real easy. Just send us an email to rick@wearebrave.church. Just send me an email, and I will send you the Zoom link. And so I'm looking forward to meeting with you, to talking with you, and helping you continue to grow in your relationship with God. So feel free to join us for that Monday night, 7 p.m., for a Bible study, a kind of a gathering together. And I would love to have as many of you on as possible. It'd be so great to hang out with you. So just shoot me an email. Write it down now, by the way. Grab a pen, take your phone out wherever you are. Write that email down. It's going to disappear in just a minute. And you can send me an email. And don't forget, go ahead and email me now. Just send an email over to me. Hey, sign me up for, you know, the Monday night Bible study, or sign me up for Monday, or see me Monday. Send me the Zoom link. However you want to message that to me, and I'll make sure that I give you that information. Hey, the second thing, or in addition to that, is I want to pray, continue to pray. One of the things we've been doing, of course, each week, we've been praying as a church for what's happening in our world. And so I'd like to start us off in a time of prayer, and then we'll jump into today's series. Father, Lord, today we're grateful that we get to still learn and grow in our relationship with you. Thank you for your word. Lord, today we pray over the world, really. We're praying for every person, of course, that, Lord, is struck by this illness. And we pray for those who are battling it, Lord, in hospitals, the family members, maybe even those who are struggling through it as well. Father, would you strengthen them? Would you heal your land, Father? Lord, we ask you in the name of Christ to bring healing, to bring peace. Lord, strengthen people where they need strength. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, today we're starting a brand new series, and it's called The Heart Matters. The Heart Matters. I was talking with my cousin this week. He's a cardiologist, and I called him up, and I said, hey, you know, I'd love to talk to you just a little bit about the heart. Can you share some things about the heart that maybe, you know, I don't know, or maybe others may not know? And so we were talking about it, and he's got a huge heart for the heart, and but we're talking about it. And one of the things that I learned, a few things that I didn't know. First of all, I didn't know this, but just the heart, an average heart, kind of an average-sized person, that type of thing, pumps 5 liters of blood every single minute. It's incredible. And so what that is, that equates to about 2,000 gallons of blood flow through the heart every day in an average person. Really incredible. Something else I didn't know was just that the heart actually has an internal pacemaker. So in other words, the heart can beat on its own. So if you take a heart out of a person, of course, this is what happens in transplants. The heart will continue to beat even though it's not attached to a body. It's really incredible. I asked him another question. I said, you know, what intrigues you most about the heart? What do you look at and you say, man, that's just, it still kind of blows your mind. He said, one of the things that really stands out to him about the heart is just the timing of how the valves open and close. Just the perfect timing that has to happen in order for that heart to function properly. And he was saying, you know, when you hear the beating of your heart, that's those valves opening and closing at a rhythm and on a perfect timing. He said, just really incredible. He mentioned inside the heart, there's kind of a wiring process that happens. You can't see it with the naked eye, but if you were to take a heart and open it up, there's like a wiring system inside the heart. Really incredible organ, and just kind of amazing what the heart does. And so as I learned about this more and more, you know, it just really blew my mind and what God designed in this thing that we call a heart. In fact, one of the stories he shared with me is that at times he has been able to, of course, whether it be in the hospital or in a surgery room, have a heart in his hand, a beating heart in his hand. And he has, you know, of course, helped save someone's life or maybe as in a surgery process. But he said one of the things he did one time was went home, told his children, he said, you know, Dad got to hold something that God created in his hand. And when I heard that, I thought how incredible that would be to just hold something like an organ like that and say, man, God, I mean, really, God made this. I mean, we could say, you know, you've been in the ocean, God made it, mountains, but just what an incredible thing to experience and what God created in this thing called the heart. Well, something I know that we all know, maybe you knew some of that about the heart, but something I think we all understand about the heart is this, is that when it comes to the heart, we should train our hearts. Right, we understand that exercising and kind of that thing and getting outside and living a healthy lifestyle is really important to the heart. In fact, as I spoke with him about this idea, I was like, is it really important to train the heart? He said, yeah, actually, if you could take two hearts, okay, one of a person who doesn't train or exercise and a person who does, can you actually physically see a difference? And to my surprise, he said, actually, yes, you can. If you took the two hearts and you looked at them, you could see the one. You could see differences in one that's been trained and one that has been not. And, you know, this really kind of made sense to me because this is what the psalmist writes in Psalm 139. The psalmist writes this, pretty interesting. He says, search me, God, and know my heart. And then he uses this phrasing, test me. Test me, God. Then he says, and know my anxious thoughts and see if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. The psalmist writes, I want you to, God, in other words, I want you to test my heart. I want you to search my heart. I want you to examine my heart. Test me. You know, kind of put me through a training process, God. This is what he's saying, because he's not talking about a physical table to lay on and have surgery on, but it's more of a spiritual table. God, train my heart. And so what he's inviting God to do is like I just said, almost like a perform heart surgery on me, God. Dig deep in my heart. And so in this series, over the next several weeks, I want to invite you to do that. And I want you to consider really listening in over this entire series, tuning in, because it's going to take some time to go through this heart surgery. I was talking with my cousin again and saying how many sometimes, you know, open heart surgery can last hours upon hours. It takes time to do this properly. And so we're in this series for the next several weeks. I want to invite you to be a part of each and every week as you invite God to do surgery on your heart. And we're going to learn and discover today why the heart matters so much to God. And that's the question that we want to answer today is why does the heart matter so much to God? You know, the Bible mentions heart over 500 times throughout Scripture if you read the NIV translation. In fact, the word heart is mentioned in the greatest commandment ever given, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, right, mind and soul. So the heart really, really does matter to God. But today, I just want to help us understand why is it that the heart matters so much to God? Why does the heart matter to God? This is the question I want us to wrestle with today, all right? So today, open up your Bibles. If you got your Bible with you, you can grab that right there. Maybe it's in your kitchen or maybe it's next to your bed somewhere, something like that. Go grab your Bible, but get your Bible out. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 15. And the good news is Matthew records for us a story about Jesus interacting with some religious leaders and his disciples. And he addresses really this question about why the heart matters so much to God. So Matthew 15, If you have your Bible, you can turn to it. But here's what it says. It says, then some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem, and they asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. And I thought, of course, this was a fitting verse to talk about. And the reason why I thought this was a fitting verse is because, of course, we're so many of us are hand washing, you know, now, maybe now more than ever before, at least longer than ever before. But these disciples were not washing their hands before they eat. And Jesus says, why do your disciples break tradition of the elders? So here's what's happening. In the Old Testament, you had high priests and priests who would do work in the temple and perform the different sacrifices. And one of the things that they were really strict on, one of the rules, if you would, or the laws that were made, was simply to not touch something that is unclean and then go touch something that is clean that you're going to present to God. And so what these high priests did is they kind of took the law that was intended for good, but they took the law and they started to spread it out amongst everyone and kind of formed it into this tradition. And Jesus continues to address this as they're in this conversation about how it goes from what was a command by God to this tradition. In other words, they took this law that was elevated the law, they kind of misused the law, if you would, and turned it into this tradition. And here's what continues to say in verse 3. It says, then Jesus replied with this question. He says, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of tradition? You're taking a commandment and you're misusing it, and you're starting to hold it over people's head in a way that wasn't meant to be done. And so Jesus says, this is what you're doing. You're actually breaking a commandment for the sake of your own tradition. Then he goes on to explain further in verse 4. It says, For God said, honor your father and your mother. And of course, that's one of the Ten Commandments. And he says, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. Verse 5. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Really interesting what these religious leaders did. You see, God had said, in other words, you've got to honor your mom and your dad. They set up this whole thing. And part of that is if they're ever in need, you're to help them out. But because some of these religious leaders didn't want to help mom and dad out, they said, well, unfortunately, we can't help you out, mom and dad, because we got to give to God first. And Jesus is addressing that. And it goes on to say in verse 7, he uses a powerful word. He says, you are hypocrites. He calls them hypocrites. And then he says, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips. They've got a bunch of rules and they follow some rules. They talk a good game about how they love me and devoted to me. But then he says, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, he says, and their teachings are merely human rules. They've taken what God has instituted for good. They've turned it around a little bit, and now they're not even using it correctly. Their hearts are far from me. And what's really, just think about this. He's talking to a group of religious leaders right there in front of them, saying it right to them, saying, you are completely off base with the way that you've been teaching, the way that you've been living your life. And he addresses them head on. So Jesus basically gives this example of what he means by this. And I'll illustrate it to you this way. Here's what ultimately Jesus is saying in this context. Just imagine for me, if you would, if, you know, God shows up and says, hey, you know, if you're a teenager, by the way, listening in with your parents and you're sitting in maybe the living room as a family right now, if you're a young person, you know, by the way, if you're a parent and your teenager somewhere else, this is the time to like call them in. I'll give you a minute to do that. You can call them into the room because you're going to want them to hear this, okay? So just imagine that God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make sure that you respect mom and dad. You've got to respect mom. You've got to respect dad. This is a rule I'm putting in place. And this is God talking, and he's saying to you, if you're a young person, you know, you're a kid in the room, listen in, okay? He says, you've got to respect mom and dad. You've got to show them respect. Hey, dad, you got to show respect to mom. Mom, you got to show respect to dad. Y'all got to show respect to one another. But because you don't like that idea, and that would take a little patience, and that would take, you know, healthy communication, and that would take some extra work, and maybe you really don't feel like you really wanted to do that and honor them and listen to what they say, the rule you put in place instead, you're like, okay, all right, God, if you want me to show respect to them, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to cut off all communication with them. I'm not going to talk to them. That way I never get tempted, okay? That way I never get tempted to not do what they say. That way I never get tempted to not talk back. So the rule I'm putting into play is simply this. We're just going to cut off communication. That way, no communication, no problem, no disrespectful talking. I won't talk back because you know what? I won't talk at all. It's that idea. It's that, hey, you know, you don't want me to talk back? Well, instead of changing my behavior, instead of changing the way that I act, instead of changing my heart, here's what I'll do. I'll just not talk at all. That's essentially what these religious leaders were doing. They were trying to find a way around what God was ultimately teaching. And he says, you can't do that. That's not what this is about, and that's not what's going to work as we talk about the heart. Because he says, well, you're actually breaking the command to honor your mom and dad. Think about this. Because you're now, you know, you're now walking out of the relationship altogether. And of course, that's not what God wants. So Jesus continues in the lesson to now he calls over a wider audience. And I love this. He's got a heart so much, not just for the religious leaders, but he's saying, hey, I want to gather all the people that you've misspoken to. He tells his religious leaders, go ahead, gather the crowds. He tells his disciples, gather everyone around because you've misspoken to people and I want to bring people into the truth. And here's what he says next. He goes on to teach about this. So Jesus called the crowd to him and he said, listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth is what defiles them. And what comes out of their mouth. The word defile means to be unclean. Okay, the word defile, it's to be unclean. This is an Old Testament term. They would have understood this very clear. Their whole purpose in life, if you would, before God was to keep a clean heart, to stay clean, to wash their hands. And so he says, what comes out of your mouth is really what makes you unclean. So Jesus is teaching, touching your food with unclean hands is not what makes you unclean before God. God doesn't look at you and say you're dirty because you don't wash your hands. It's much more than that. In fact, what Jesus is teaching these religious leaders in this audience is that actually the stuff already inside of you is what makes you unclean. In other words, what Jesus is saying, your dirty hands don't make you unclean to God. He says it's your dirty heart that makes you unclean. It's what's inside of you that makes you unclean in the eyes of God. Defilement, uncleanliness is an internal issue, and external traditions like washing hands can't change your heart. Now, what you think about that? How many times have you maybe you've seen people, you know, where you think that some form of external tradition, you walk into church and you perform a certain tradition, and by tradition's sake, you think that's changing my heart. They could walk into the temple and do certain things or whatever they wanted to do and pray a certain way. He says, no. External traditions, got to think about this, can't change your heart. Yeah, you're following some laws and you're doing some rules that are actually kind of out, but you're doing what you can. But that doesn't make you clean in the eyes of God. This is the teaching. And this would have been a brand new concept. I mean, for many of you think, well, of course, that makes sense. You can't wash your hands and be right with God just for washing your hands. But to this audience, this would have been entirely a brand new understanding, this idea that God looks at the heart more than he looks at the rules you follow. Very important. So Jesus is wanting his audience to know that circumstances don't cause our sin. They just provide the opportunity for the sinful desire that's already in our heart to come out. And Jesus wants them to know that you can't boil down your relationship with God to a bunch of rules to follow. God wants much more than that. God wants your heart. And of course, at this point in time, the religious leaders are thinking, I'm out of here. I don't want to hear this anymore. And so Jesus continues on the lesson to his disciples further. It says in verse 12, so here's what happens. It says, then the disciples came to him and they asked, did you know that these Pharisees, these religious leaders, they were offended when you were talking like that? They didn't want to hear what you had to say, so they left. They didn't want to hear it anymore. And Jesus replies back, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind, the blind guides. If they blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. So basically what he says is just let them go on, move on. But then Peter, and I love Peter in this line. You know, Peter is often the guy who's like chosen out of the disciples. Hey, Peter, we need you to do something for us. You go get out of the water, out of the boat, and to the water. They're always kind of using Peter as kind of a person to start the conversation with Jesus. So Peter elects to walk up to his teacher, right, his rabbi. He walks up to Jesus, and he says this question. He says, you know, can you explain that to me, that whole teaching that you just gave? It says in verse 15, it says, can you explain this parable to us? Because I think I understood what you were saying, but it helped me understand that better. And I love Jesus' response. The teacher, Jesus, he's God, but he's human. Watch what he says next to his disciple. He says, why are you so dull? This is actually a Greek term that means why are you so intelligent or without understanding? It actually could be translated the word stupid. He's not being rude, but what he's saying is like, Peter, do you need me to kind of dumb this down for you a little bit? Here, Peter, I mean, as a parent, maybe you've done this before. Do I need to spell this out for you, Peter? Okay, let me spell this out for you. Grab your pen, Peter. Okay, I'll spell it out. Yeah, I can't believe you don't understand this yet. I mean, parents are relating to Jesus right now. I can feel it right through the camera. I can feel it, all right? All right, so this is where Jesus is. He's like, Peter, disciples, guys, gather around. Write this down. Matthew, you got your pen out? Okay, good. Because I'm about to tell you why your heart matters so much, why this is such good teaching. So he goes on to say, verse 17, he says, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? And just think about that. I mean, how kind of like, Jesus, that's an obvious one. Yeah, we eat it, comes out. Okay, yeah, we got that. I was like, okay, you got that? All right, you with me? Got your pen out? Write this down. Okay, the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, he says. See, but the things that come out of a person's mouth actually come from the heart, and these defile them. It's what you speak, in other words, is what Jesus is ultimately saying. In other words, it's the way you talk to other people that makes you unclean in the eyes of God. Therefore, words that hurt other people hurt God. Why? Because God loves people. And he says, whenever you hurt people with your words, you're actually hurting God. It's the way you speak to one another that actually makes you unclean in the eyes of God. Just think about how important your words are as a family. Maybe for some of your families right now, you're gathering around and you're listening to different messages. You know, you're sitting in together. I just want you to consider as a family, maybe just take a moment. As spouses, maybe you're married or maybe, you know, you're single and you talk to certain people a certain way in your family. I just want you to consider for just a moment how you speak to one another. You know, and even, of course, right now, I know that tensions can be high in a home because maybe kids are around and we're, you know, a lot of people are working maybe extra hours from home and they're trying to figure out how to juggle homeschool and figuring out, you know, homework and all that stuff with kids. And there's just tensions are high. And the way you speak to one another, God says, it matters. The way you talk, it actually shows what's going on in your heart. And some of you can understand that. I've spoken to some of you even on the phone how, you know, tensions are so high inside of us because many of us are maybe in higher stressful situations. We're speaking a little louder, you know, or our tone is changing because of what's going on in our heart. It's not because, you know, your kid's struggling in math that you're yelling. It's not because that. It's something going on in your heart. It's saying, you know, there's stress happening. I'm a little, you know, out of normalcy here. My plan is shifted, and so it's changing the way I speak. And so Jesus is pushing on, and we understand this idea that when external conditions start to change and we get under pressure or we get under stress, the way we speak changes oftentimes. This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, hey, you know, the way you speak to people, that matters to God. In fact, that matters more than washing your hands. And you should wash your hands. You should. That's important. 20 seconds. But he says the way you speak to one another matters a little more. We understand this idea. And then he goes on to say, but it's not just speech. He continues the lesson by saying in verse 19, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, So now it's going to go beyond just speech, and he says, hey, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, like the way that you behave, it actually comes out of your heart. Murder and adultery, sexual morality, theft, false testimony, you're lying and slander. He says these are the things that actually come out of your heart. I know for some of you are thinking, those are pretty drastic, but I think that all of us can relate to false testimony, to telling a lie at some point. You know, or thinking thoughts that maybe you shouldn't have thought. Let me ask you two questions for this to probably make sense to you. And I think most of us will understand. And even you don't have to be a full believer in Jesus to agree with what Jesus is saying this. And I'll prove it to you. I'll ask you two questions, and maybe you just kind of participate with this, right? And I'll pause after I ask the question, and you tell me if you say, yeah, I have to say yes to that. All right, here's the first one. Have you ever said something that you shouldn't have said? I'll pause. Have you ever said something that you shouldn't have said? Yeah. The answer is yeah. Yeah, you have. I got a second one for you. Have you ever done something that you shouldn't have done? This is what Jesus is saying. Have you ever had a moment where you said something and then you asked yourself that kind of self-reflection question, where did that come from? Have you ever wondered that? Where did that come from? Or you ask someone else, and they talk a certain way, and you say, where does that come from? We do this with our kids. If you're a parent, you could relate to this, because you look at your kids, you know, and you say, where did you learn to talk like that, you know? I mean, where'd you learn that? You know, where did that come from? And here's what Jesus is saying. It came from your heart. It came from the heart. It came from the inside. Something that's inside your heart, that's where it's coming from. Hey, you know, why did you react that way? Why did you behave that way? Why did you do that thing that you thought I never would do? You know, that's what, it's because it's what's inside your heart. And so Jesus is saying this is a heart issue we have to get to. This is not about tradition and hand washing. We've got to get to the heart if we're going to make you clean in the eyes of God. This is what Jesus is teaching. He's simply saying, regardless of the behavior, what Jesus says is true. What eventually, this is, we'll put it up, what lies on the inside eventually shows up on the outside, right? Whatever happens on the inside of you eventually shows up on the outside. And I don't know if this is you, but certainly we know and we understand this, because what Jesus is simply teaching is this. He's saying, hey, remember that thing that happened to you when you're a kid? It still shows up, doesn't it? I mean, the way that you were talked to, you know, as a child in your home, that's still showing up. The way that the coworker spoke to you, the way that you were treated there, and that's kind of laid inside of you, that caused a little pain. There was a breakup at some point in your life, and that's still kind of sitting there, and it comes out every once in a while, doesn't it? You ever spoken in a certain way, and you thought, gosh, that sounded like my parent. Man, I never thought I would talk that way, or I never thought I'd behave that way. What he's simply saying is this. Hey, what lies on the inside eventually shows up on the outside. If you have a person who's got insecurity, he's simply saying, hey, that insecurity that lies on the inside, that longing for approval, it eventually shows up on the outside. And so when you walk into a room, you're like, what are people thinking of me right now? Right? That insecurity thing, it eventually shows up. Maybe it's the lack of patience. You know, maybe there's something going on inside of you, just lack patience. He says, hey, if that's something that's going on inside of you, that eventually will show up on the outside. Because what lies on the inside eventually shows up on the outside. Think about relationships, you know, marriages and relationships. I know that marriages are getting kind of, in a way, almost attacked more in a way that people, you know, are at each other maybe a little tighter because of all the different things that are happening in our world. But I just want you to consider this. If you don't heal from your past wounds and pain, what this is essentially saying in your relationships especially, we see this to be true, it just carries over into the next. Because what lies on the inside eventually shows up on the outside. This is what Jesus is teaching. And then he's going to close out his teaching. Verse 20, Matthew writes this down. He says, these are what defile a person. The way you talk, the way you treat one another. He says, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. Jesus teaches that what bothers the heart of God is not that you don't wash your hands. And this is what he wants the audience to know. It's not the tradition that makes you clean before God. It's how you speak to people. It's how you treat people. I mean, doesn't that make sense? Because Jesus would later on say the greatest commandments really shoved down kind of into one, just to love your neighbor as yourself. If you just do that, you'll fulfill all the laws of God. He says the way you speak, the way you act, the way you behave, these are the things that God looks for in regards to our heart. Ultimately, when you hurt people that God loves, you hurt God. And of course, this makes complete sense. This is what makes you unclean in the eyes of God. And Jesus is wanting his disciples to know, and he wants you to know, and he wants me to know, that when it comes to his Father, it's really all about the heart. So why? Why does the heart matter so much to God? And this is why. This is kind of the final point. We'll help you understand that. When it comes to following Jesus, here's what I want you to know. It really is all about the heart. You say why? Why is that? Why is it? That's what I want to answer for you. And the best way that I could maybe even explain it of why this is, that when it comes to the heart, this is really what I want you to grab today. This is what I want you to grab. This is just part one of the series. We're going to continue in this series next week. But I want you to just think about this. When it comes to following Jesus, it really is all about the heart. I mean, the heart. You see it all through Scripture. And this teaching, he's wanting these religious leaders to know, it's about your heart. And you can't just use this, by the way, as this kind of an scapegoat. You know, you can't just say, well, you know, I'm going to engage in this sin, and then I'm just going to say, well, God knows my heart. You know, I mean, we've done that before, but that really just exposes your heart. I mean, you can't tell a lie and say, but God knew my heart. Okay, that just actually exposes your heart. And so when it comes to following Jesus, it really is all about the heart. The other night I was laying next to my wife about to go to bed, and this is sometimes what it's like being married, I guess, to a pastor or communicator. But I'm laying there, and I'm thinking, of course, about this message, and I'm thinking about what God is kind of even doing in my personal life. And I said, gosh, you know, it's like my whole life has changed since coming to know God. I mean, really, and sometimes we talk a little bit about, you know, what life would have been like had we met when we were teenagers or a little younger, and maybe how, you know, we probably would have never got along or probably would have never worked out or something like that. And I just started to think about, you know, how I used to live my life in this moment, lying there before falling asleep. I just started thinking about how I used to live my life and things that I used to engage in. And then I just kind of, I turned over to my wife and just said, I got like a whole new heart. Like, I'm completely different. Like, everything in my life has changed since coming to know Christ. And then it makes sense, of course, and, you know, it says in the Bible that whenever we come to know Christ, that we become a new person in Christ, that we get, like, this new heart, a new way of seeing things. And I just want to encourage you and just have you maybe think about something. This is why the heart matters so much to God. Why it's the foundation, it's the root of our life. And we're going to dive into that a little bit more. But the reality is when we come to know Christ, he begins to change our heart. And we get a new heart. Today, I just want you to understand this principle. When it comes to following Jesus, it really is all about the heart. And I can encourage you and I can tell you this all day long. When you come to give your life to Jesus, your heart changes. And God begins to do surgery on your heart. He begins to transform your heart to where one day you look back and you're like, gosh, man, I see things differently. I talk differently. I treat people differently. And that's all because you invited God to do surgery on your heart. But there's that first step that we have to take. The first step is simply this. God, search me, O God. Examine me. Examine me, O God. Examine my heart. Search my heart. Know my anxious thoughts. Would you just do surgery on me, God? And when you present yourself to God and you say, God, would you begin to perform surgery on my heart? God, would you begin to test my heart? Would you begin to train my heart? God begins to go to work, and it changes everything in your life. And so I want to invite you right where you are. Maybe that's you. Today, you just want to get on the operating table. I heard a guy tell a story. He was going to open heart surgery, and The doctors gave him an option and said, do you want us to kind of wheel you into the surgery room, or do you want to get on the operating table yourself? And he said, I want to get on myself. I want to take a look around the room before I go, you know, kind of go under. And so he did that. He got on the operating table himself before they performed surgery on his heart. I want to invite you to do that right where you are, just to get on a table. And over the next several weeks, just invite God. God, over the next several weeks, I want to invite you to do surgery on my heart. That's what today is all about, just simply making the invitation to God. God, I recognize the heart really does matter to you. And I want you to begin to perform surgery on my heart so that I can become the person that you've created me to be, so that I could be clean in your eyes. Would you search my heart? Hey, if that's you, I want to pray with you right where you are. And even if that's not you, wherever you're at, I encourage you to be praying for each other, praying for those that are listening in. But let's pray together. Let's ask God to come and do surgery on our heart as we open our eyes to Jesus and what he wants to do in our life. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for who you are, being our creator and our maker. No one knows the heart like you do. And so, Jesus, we invite you to do surgery on our heart. And I don't know where you are right now, but maybe over the next few weeks, that God has created space and he's created time for you to say, I want to do surgery on your heart. I want to begin to tap into the things that occur to you in your past, and I want to bring those things out so that you would have a new and pure heart. Maybe there's a way that you speak. Maybe there's a way that you behave, and you've wondered, why do I act that way still? Why do I still struggle with that certain sin or that certain mountain I just can't seem to get over? And God is speaking to you, and he's saying, it's because of a heart issue. I want to give you a new heart. I want to invite, just encourage you to say, God, give us a new heart. Maybe it's even in your marriage. Maybe there's just the central heart of your marriage, and you say, God, we want to give our marriage to you. We want you to give a new way, that we would see a new way of seeing marriage. Give us a new heart towards our marriage. Give us a new heart in the way that I see my parents. Give us a new heart. If you're a young person, the way that you see, God, give me a new heart for the way that I see my parents. Maybe you're a young person in the room and you're listening in with your family, right? If you've got your eyes closed too, it might simply just be that, you know, you hold a fence against dad, or you hold a fence against a mom, or something they should have said, or something they should have done. And today, you just want to begin that healing process. You could just simply say, God, I want a new heart. I open my heart to you and allow you to do the work that you need to do, that I could become the person that you created me to be. Hey, if that's you, I just want you to pray this with me. Just say, God, today I get on the operating table and I give you the access. I give you and I my life. I open myself to you, that you would examine my heart. And God, over this next few weeks, Lord, would you examine my heart and help me, Father, to become more like you. Help me to become the person that you created me to be. In Jesus' name, amen.